Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. The fifth chapter of Hebrews is on in your Scofield Bible, page 1295, 1295. We'll read from verse 11 of chapter 5 through verse 2 of chapter 6. All right, let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Let's pray. Father, we're more fortunate than what we can ever guess to be here tonight. Thank you for our church. What a great church. Once again, we have so little concept of how great this church really is. And thank you for our preacher. What a treasure we have in our preacher, your man. We pray that you'd bless now as we listen. Help us to listen with our hearts. Help us to be that which you would have us to be in doing the word of God as well as hearing it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the brook. I used to think when I first started preaching, what are we going to do when I get the Bible all preached up? Seems like every time I open one door and go through it, I see 10 other rooms with great truths. I pray tonight you'd bless me as I speak and our dear people as they hear. Accomplish thy purpose in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on unto perfection. The word perfect is a word that is not rationed in the Bible. We're a little bit afraid to use it because many of our charismatic friends, especially the old-timers, talked about perfect holiness, the eradication of sin, and eradication of the old nature. However, the doctrine of perfection is a Bible doctrine. And we cannot avoid or evade its teaching. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, our Lord commands us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a command from God. I'm supposed to be perfect, God says. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12, I read, by the way, please put your pens up now and please listen to me. I want to preach to you. I hate this classroom preaching going on in America with a passion. I hate it with a passion. In Ephesians 5, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did he give these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers? The Bible says he gave them in verse 12 of Ephesians 5, for the perfecting of the saints. You see, the reason that I'm here tonight, I've been your pastor for these over 36 and a half years, is God has put me here to perfect you. And these men on the platform who are likewise pastors in this church, God has given them and us to you for your protection, if you please. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, it follows that verse about the inspiration of the Bible. All Scripture is given inspiration of God. And then it says that the man of God may be made perfect.
Perfect.
Excuse me. That the man of God may be made perfect. Then in John 17, 23, in that great prayer that our Savior prayed in Gethsemane's garden, talking about us, he looked down through the telescope of prophecy and saw us, and he said that they may be made perfect. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, read it a while ago, it says, let us go on to perfection. And then Colossians 3:14, it says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come into a perfect man. Let me introduce the message tonight by saying that God expects you to get perfect. Now, that does not mean that God expects you to get to the place where you'll never sin. You'll never get there. The Bible said if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the day will never come when you can live above sin. But the word perfect in the Bible simply means maturity. God expects you to be an adult Christian. I didn't expect it to happen all of a sudden, but he expects it to happen. And that verb in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, is the future perfect tense, which means be ye therefore be becoming perfect. Be on your way to becoming perfect. Now tonight, some of you are immature Christians. Now that's okay if you haven't been saved very long. But if you've been saved at all, you ought to be on your way to perfection. And if you've been saved very long, you ought to be perfect. You say perfect without sin? No, mature. Grown up. That's what God is talking about. Now, God tells us the areas in which he expects us to become mature. For example, in Isaiah 26 and 31, 33 rather, it's Isaiah 26 and 3, God wants us to have perfect peace. That's mature peace, if you please. And then God continues to tell us what he expects of perfection. In 1 John 4:17, he says we're supposed to have perfect love. And then in 2 Corinthians 7:1, we're supposed to have perfect holiness. And then in Hebrews 13:1, we're supposed to have perfect works. And in Leviticus 22:21, we're supposed to do perfect giving. Now God said we're supposed to be mature in our peace, mature in our love, mature in our holiness, mature in our works, and mature in our giving. Let me give you a summary verse of perfection. You see, I liken it to changing gears. Here goes a person along in one gear, and that's immaturity. And all of us have to go through that stage. Every Christian at some time is a new Christian. And so, but there comes a time when we ought to change gears and become mature Christians. Now, what is this area of maturity? 1 Corinthians 10:31 is the best verse I know. For whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, you get the place in your life where you don't do things for yourself, but you do things to the glory of God, then you have matured. You're no longer a baby crying for your way, no longer a child fighting for your way. Listen to me now. No longer a little child fussing and fuming and having bitterness in your heart and not getting along with people and not speaking with people and fussing with people and acting like a little children fighting over a toy. It's time that God's people grow up and learn to get along with each other. And it's time we do all to the glory of God. Now, God has commanded that we be mature in our works, mature in our giving, mature in our peace, mature in our love, and mature in our holiness. Now, listen carefully to me. Let me explain. God lures us by appealing to our selfish nature. That's the way you got saved. A preacher didn't stand up one day and say, your life is not counting the glory of God. And you said, oh, my soul, my life is not counting the glory of God. I've got to get saved. No, somebody scared the, well, you know what, out of you.
Some preacher held you over hellfire and damnation and said, if you don't get born again, you're going to split hell wide open and you're going to burn in hell forever and ever, and that's exactly what's going to happen if you don't get born again. And some old-fashioned leather-lung hellfire and damnation preacher scared the fire out of you. And you said, boy, I don't want to go to hell. And you went down the altar and got on your knees and got right. And what America needs is a generation of preachers do that again. I drove down Holman Avenue coming to church and said, tonight passed the church liberal row down there on Holman Avenue. One church said, bingo on Sunday. Well, hogwash on Sunday, bingo. They ought to say, hellfire and damnation preaching on Sunday. Gospel preaching on Sunday. Bible preaching on Sunday. But I'm trying to say that you got saved for a selfish motive. Now, if it wasn't to keep you out of hell, it was to go to heaven. Somebody told you there's a heaven. Somebody told you that a place had golden streets and gates of pearl. And you want to go there, and you got saved selfishly. There's nothing wrong with that. And, or it may be that you want to live forever, wherever it is. And you got saved because you'd like to live forever. And God said if you would trust Him, you could have eternal or everlasting life. But I tell you what, everybody in this room tonight got saved because God lured you with selfish bait. And then, as a child in the Lord, a baby Christian, he continues. He uses a selfish method. He says, trust me, and you won't go to hell. He says, trust me, and I'll take you to heaven. He says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. He said, I'll give you joy. I'll give you a long life. This is called milk. And there's nothing wrong with a child of God being on milk if he's a baby. It is, and look, there are people here tonight. They're not grown enough to appeal to them and lure them through doing it to the glory of God. So I say, if you'll come to church and be faithful and give up your dirty sin, you'll have joy. You'll have peace. Nothing wrong with that, but there ought to come a day in your life where you go beyond that and change gears and start doing what you do to the glory of God. Some Pharisees criticize us trying to reach people through the incentive method. Well, First Baptist Church, all these churches have these bus ministries. They're bribing these kids with hot dogs. If brains were water, you wouldn't have enough to wash your eyeball. I'll ask you a question. If we're bribing folks to get them to come to church but give them a hot dog, don't you think God's a bigger bribe than we are, bribing folks to go to heaven because they get saved so they can go to heaven? I'm not very smart, but I'd rather go to heaven than have a hot dog, and I love hot dogs. Now, don't you listen to this crowd of self-styled, spiritual, sanctimonious people letting the world go to hell. Our God does use incentive methods, and there's nothing wrong with a bus captain saying, come to Sunday school Sunday, and we'll give you a hot dog. Nothing wrong with that. But if I said, Brother Bordway, if you'll come to church Wednesday night, I'll give you a hot dog. That'd be wrong. This guy's chairman of the deacon board. Ought to have lure him with a hot dog? No, sir. He's a mature Christian. Not many deacons are, but he happens to be one of them. So he no longer has to be appealed to with a hot dog. There's nothing wrong with somebody saying, if you'll come to church, I'll swallow a goldfish. Now, I won't. Not me. The whole world will go to hell for I'll swallow a goldfish. But Brother Moffat, how many of you swallowed at one time? 17 at one time. If you watch him carefully, his stomach's doing like that all the time. 17. There's nothing wrong with that except he's stupid. You know what? These same people that say you're bribing folks to come to church by giving them a hot dog, well, air conditioning is the same thing. What are you liberals doing, bribing folks to come to church by having an air-conditioned auditorium? And the very idea of having padded pews.
You ought to have concrete bitches. Sure, you're trying to get folks to come to church. That's why you got heat in the wintertime and air conditioning in the summertime and padded pews and carpets and lights, all the rest of it. I'm saying there is nothing in this world wrong with giving little babes in Christ some kind of reward for serving God, but the day comes when you're supposed to grow up.
Suppose I said tonight, Ms. McKinney, if you'll come to church next Sunday, I'll swallow a goldfish. And she said, oh, then I'll come. When you're 85 years old, you shouldn't have to do that. Now I'm saying there are people in this room tonight who are babes in Christ. And there's not one solitary thing wrong with giving that babe some milk. You call that milk. And that little baby, you entice him. And you offer him something extra to come. But that little baby ought to grow and grow and grow and grow until finally he matures and becomes perfect, if you please, and becomes a mature Christian, and he'll come to church hot dog or no hot dog. Goldfish or no goldfish. Hamburger or no hamburger. Bubble gum or no bubble gum. But I am sick up to here of some of these universities and their backslidden presidents more concerned with art galleries than mourners' benches. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Let them get out here on Saturday like some of these people do for 10 hours. Let them fight the sub-zero weather. Let them fight the rain, the sleet, and the snow. Let them know what it's like to care for little boys and girls that have knees while they sit in their ivory palaces and let the world go to hell and criticize somebody who loves people enough to try to entice them to come to God. What Jesus meant in John 3:15, 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth him should not perish. He said, you believe in me and I won't let you perish. That's incentive method. That's bribery. Why don't you write an article and put in your magazine against God? God's bribing boys and girls. No, he's not. He's bribing everybody. He says, anybody that'll trust me shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the incentive method, reward method. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Look at me, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Should not perish. God's using the reward method. Come to me, I'll give you a home in heaven. Come to me, I'll give you peace. Come to me, I'll give you joy. Come to me, I'll give you happiness. Come to me, I'll give you thrill. Come to me, I'll give you contentment. And God's used the reward method, but then he said, that's okay for a while. But he said, be ye therefore mature sometime. And be ye getting toward maturity. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting folks to escape, to save. Saved, escape hell, go to heaven. But we're not stay there. God intends for us to change gears. Okay, listen carefully. Then what is a perfect work? Okay, what is an imperfect work? It's when you do something to get a reward. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody, if you bring 10 visitors, I'll give you a Bible. Or if you bring 10 visitors, I'll give you a meal at a restaurant. Nothing wrong there at all. But that's imperfect. That's immature. You don't say, Brother Keith, guess what, sonny boy? If you'll come to church Wednesday night, I'll give you a big ice cream cone with chocolate syrup on top. Oh, you already had it, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that for a child, but God said the time ought to come when you don't have to be appealed to like that. And you call that on to perfection. What is a perfect work? A perfect work is a work not done for reward, but to glorify Christ. I'm not criticizing you baby Christians that work so someday you'll get a reward in heaven. You're going to stand before God and you want rewards. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But the time has come when some of you people ought to get beyond that and serve God because God said to. And serve God because you love Him. And serve God because you want to glorify Him. And God says on to perfection.
what is perfect holiness. Perfect holiness is when you live right because you want to glorify Christ. And what is imperfect holiness? When you live right because you're scared.
Oh, good preacher, guess up. If you don't live right, if you don't put that liquor out of your icebox and turn that television filth off your television set, if you don't start living right, God's going to reach down one of these days and take that little child and take that child on it. And you say, oh, my soul, oh, no, 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 I better live right. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that.
For baby Christians. But one of these days you need to shift your cares to the place to where you live right because Jesus wants you to live right. That's what he meant when he said, let us go on to perfection. That's what he meant when he said, be ye therefore perfect. He's saying there's nothing wrong with you as a baby acting like a baby. Last Sunday morning, these Pathfinders sang for us in the service, and I love to have them sing. What lovely people. How sweet they are and how wonderful they are. Please don't think I'm at all making fun of them because they're so vital and so important to me. But I'm looking today at a bunch of spiritual pathfinders. You're retarded. You're educable slow. You still get your little feelings hurt if somebody mistreats you. You're still little babies. I mean, you've got a big body, strong body, and you've been living on the earth 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But you need to go on to perfection. What is imperfect holiness? It's when you live right because you're afraid not to. But the day ought to come and you shift that gear over here in the other gear. And you start living right because you love Jesus. I don't live right tonight because I'm afraid not to. I don't stay home in the movies because I'm afraid to go to a movie. I don't refrain from rock music because I'm afraid to listen to rock music. I don't do that stuff because I want to glorify God. And some person walks up, yeah,
well, would you go to hell if you listen to rock music?
No, you wouldn't. Somebody asked Brother Bob Jones Sr. one time, no, Oliver Green, said, would you go to hell if you, can you go to heaven and chew tobacco? He said, yeah, but you have to go to hell to spit. But some of you folks been saved 20 years, still use the imperfect, immature motivation. There ought to come a time when you shift those gears over to doing it for the glory of Almighty God. What is mature giving? Let me first talk about immature giving. Oral Roberts' giving is immature giving. Give me some. Put seed money. But you know they always want you to plant in their ground. Yeah. Oral Roberts never gets up and says, put some seed in the ground. Put it in Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church. He's not trying to get seed in the ground. He's trying to get seed in his ground. That's immature giving. By the way, Malachi 3, 10, 8 through 10 is immature giving. There's nothing wrong with that if you're a baby. Nothing wrong with a baby sitting there and saying, goo, 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 da, 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 da. Nothing wrong with a baby lying there and seeing little birds up there and going, ay. But you ought not to do that, Ray. Suppose you go home tonight and Mabel's got little birds over your bed there. Oh, Ray said, good, good, good. Nothing wrong with being a baby, but there's something wrong with staying a baby. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ, but the Bible said, let us go on to perfection. Grow up. Imperfect. What is perfect giving? Perfect giving is giving because God tells you to give. And because you want to give and you want to obey Him. That's perfect giving. What is perfect love? Perfect love is a love not altered by the object. Perfect love is a love that cannot be quenched. Perfect love is a love that loves the unlovely and unloving and unlovable. Perfect love is a love that loves your enemies. Now, what is imperfect love? I just love her. She's so sweet.
Nothing wrong with that for a baby. But it's time to grow up. It's time for some of you people, oh, I just love him. That's the nicest fella. Well, love the guy that's not nice, too. She's the sweetest thing. I just love her. Well, love the sour one, too. The average person who sits in a fundamental church tonight, listen to me carefully back here. The average person sits in a fundamental church tonight is not 6 months old in Jesus. And I'm afraid there are hundreds of people tonight in this room who are not 6 months old in Jesus. Now again, there's nothing wrong with a hot dog as an incentive, but there is, if that's not mature Christianity. It's acceptable for a baby, and babies are fine and loving and sweet, but they're supposed to grow up. What is perfect love? That means that you don't just love that which is lovable. You love that which is unlovable. You don't just love those that do good to you. You love those that do ill to you. You don't just love your friends. You love your enemies. You don't just love those that bless you. You love those that curse you. That's adult love in Christ. That's perfect love. And that means if somebody's trying to kill you, you love them. Like you love if they're trying to keep you alive. If somebody defends you, love them. If somebody attacks you, love them anyway. Listen, our Savior said, bless those that curse you, and pray for those that despitefully use you, and love those that hate you, and that's as much a command as thou shalt not kill. Now, wait a minute, you baby Christians, I don't expect you to do that. You're used to looking at birds. Sucking on a bottle. Nothing wrong with sucking on a bottle. But if Jack Scott came out here tonight sucking on a bottle, you'd think that's stupid. He's supposed to drink his milk from a glass. And you're supposed to love with mature love. Now, there's some of you that are not there yet. I'm not expecting... Listen, this crowd, they're all kind of people got saved last Sunday. Some folks here got saved this morning. I don't expect you to do what I'm talking about tonight. And bless God, we're going to keep on having hot dogs and keep on having the world's largest banana split and keep on having raw muffins, going to swallow 75 goldfish next Sunday morning, right? That's right. And we're going to keep on having little pet ways, but it's time some of you people decided to grow up and have perfect or mature love, perfect or mature holiness, perfect or mature works, and perfect or mature giving. What's perfect joy and peace? It's joy and peace not caused by circumstances. What's imperfect joy or peace? Now listen carefully to me. Don't misunderstand me now. Boy, I tell you, I've never been so happy in my life. We won that tournament. Nothing wrong with that. But suppose we'd come in last place. I still have joy and peace. Now, the fellows that play on the team wouldn't, I'd expel them all from school. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If your joy is determined by circumstances, that means when the foul winds blow, or the cold winds blow, or the north winds blow, you're in for some unhappiness. But there's nothing wrong with that for a new Christian. A babe in Christ, that's milk. But the day ought to come when you get the place to where you have peace anyway. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Here's a little selfish teenage girl. Ain't nothing more selfish than a teenage girl. Nothing. Nothing. I like what Mark Twain said. When your child becomes a teenager, lock him up and put him in a box. Don't ever let him out. When he gets 17, cut a hole where he can breathe. When he gets 17, plug up the hole. But now, wait a minute. That little selfish girl falls in love, or jumps in love, stumbles in love, slips in love, but she gets in love. She's still selfish. She marries. Only thing more selfish than a teenage girl is a young married girl. But then one day she's going to have a baby. By the way, she says to her husband, give me this day my daily dress. Give me this day my daily pair of shoes.
Give me this day my daily hat. Give me this day my daily allowance. And I'll take care of the shoes, the dress, and the hat by myself. She is pregnant. Has a baby. That's usually the result of that. It's awful hard to educate you and preach to you at the same time. little child gets up 6 months old. Daddy gives mother some money to go buy a dress. Guess what size mama buys? She buys a size 6 months. You know why? She shifted gears. All of a sudden, she'd rather that baby have a dress than mama. Baby grows up and gets married, then she's back where she was. I'm not testifying tonight. I'm just preaching. Methinks me is in trouble. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's happened to that little gal? Listen, you take a new mother, and she, especially if she's got a little girl, I'll bind you, you give her some money to go shopping, and she'll come home with a little dress instead of a big dress. Why? She's matured. She's perfect. She's outside the selfish stage. Let me illustrate again. Young pastor goes to a church, wants to go to the top, wants to have the biggest church in the area, biggest church in the county, biggest church in the state. He wants to be somebody. And all of a sudden, one day, he looks out at his people and he says, I love those people. And all of a sudden, he sees his people and wants to meet their needs, and that's more important to him than having the biggest church in the county. Because all of a sudden, he's no longer trying to become a big preacher, but trying to satisfy the needs of those people whom he loves devotedly. That's what you call perfection. Please listen carefully to me. I'm a perfect preacher. I'm not a great pulpiteer. I'm not a great deliverer of sermons, but I'm a perfect preacher. Because I never wonder how I'm doing. I'm never so well, I'm preaching, say, boy, I think I got it tonight. No, I never. Or I don't think I had. No, I never do that. Never. Doesn't matter whether I have it or not. It's do you get it. That's all that matters. That's what you call a perfect preacher. Illustration. Young lady, single. She works in an office. She types. She takes dictation. She runs a computer. Do you run computers? Use computers? Something. I run from them. Whenever I check into an airport in Flagstaff, Arizona, and the guy says, you like a window seat better than an aisle seat, and you drink Diet Cokes on the airplane, I want to say, I want out of here. How'd you find out? New York City just told me. He punches that little doojigger there, and that little doojigger makes that trip all the way to New York City and turns around and comes back with all that information before I can say Jack Robinson or Jack Hiles, which is faster. She punches the computer, answers the phone, files, keeps records, works on a calculator. They still have calculators? They're all gone, right? Still have them? Okay. Still have typewriters? Okay. Adding machines? Still have adding machines? Then this little gal gets married. Instead of typing, she washes clothes. Instead of taking dictation, she irons. Instead of working on a computer, she vacuums the floors. Instead of answering the phone, she scrubs the floor. Instead of filing, she washes dishes. Instead of keeping records, she cleans the commode. Instead of working on a calculator, she cooks and mops and sweeps and polishes and cleans and scrubs. And somebody asked her one day, are you still working? No. I quit work. And by the way, it isn't work. Because those shirts she irons are going to be on the body of the guy she loves. And that house that she cleans is going to give a nice clean place for the guy she loves to live. And it's not work. At all. Why? She's a perfect wife. She's matured. She's not concerned about herself all of a sudden. She's matured. She's become perfect. Illustration. A student comes to Hiles Anderson College. That student, freshman year, is a little selfish punk or a punkette. We got both kinds. Some of them right now misbehaving, not listening, talking to their girlfriends. Some guy's going to be a preacher of the gospel someday, and he's just swooning back there over some Chanel number 5. But one day that little girl that's carefree, scatterbrained, you're as pleasant as the morning, as refreshing as the rain. Isn't it a pity that you're such a scatterbrain? When you smile, it's so delightful. When you talk, it's so insane. Still, it's charming, shatter, scatterbrain. I know I'll end up epileptic, but there's nothing I can do. It's just the same as being in a hurricane. Although my life is now too hectic, there's nothing I can do. Nothing else can matter. You're my darling scatterbrain.
Look at the folks flooding down the aisle to get right with God.
That little scatterbrain gal, every time she walks down the street, she looks in the window to see how her hair's doing. She hits it like that, bumps into a dumb telephone post. Now her hair's good. She got a knot on her head and a bloody nose, but your hair looks good. If she's on a date and it sprinkles, her whole day is ruined. My hair fell. So did mine. One day, Brother Young goes out to the college and preaches on the buses. Okay, I'm tired of being pressured. I'll work on the buses. She goes down there, and after about 6 months, those little kids work their way in her heart. And those little kids become the object of her compassion. All of a sudden, she has an overwhelming desire to feed their hungry bodies. She has a desire to tell them the story of Christ. And that same little gal that was a scatterbrained, self-centered little brat now walks in the snow all day on Saturday. And sometimes it's raining and her hair just gets as straight as a 2x4. She keeps on going. Her dress is wrinkled. Her makeup, her mascara has formed little balls of pancakes that rolls down her cheeks. But she never says, "Oh, I look a fright." Can I tell them about the car wash? Can I? I'm going to anyway. I wonder if I can or not. Mrs. Howes decides yesterday to get her car washed. She goes to one of these drive-through places where it washes while you drive through, but she forgets to put her window up. Her hair was a sight. But all of a sudden, is that okay? You call that a certain kind of a blonde. But here's this little gal that was enrolled in school, a spoiled brat. One hair out of place, it ruined her whole semester. And there she is, sitting on the Chicago steps of a Chicago apartment house with poor little kids who wiggled their way into her heart. What's happened to that little spoiled brat? She's perfect. She's perfect. She's mature. All of a sudden, she's transferred that immaturity for maturity. And she's perfect. I'll say this in closing tonight. I don't blame anybody in this room who's been saved for a while for being a child. And we'll keep on offering you a hot dog to get you in church, and we'll keep on having big days in our Sunday school. Boy, Moffat will swallow goldfish, frogs, tadpoles, and we'll keep on doing it and stick our tongues out at the Pharisees that say it's wrong. But while we defend the right for a baby to be a baby, we also say to those of you who've been babies for 20 years, it's time you grow up. It's time that you got what the Bible calls to perfect work, work to the glory of God. It's time that you had perfect holiness, living a holy life. Quit your rock music because God doesn't want you to listen to it. Turn off your dirty soap operas and Oprah, all the rest of that garbage and filth and rot on television because God wants you to. That's why some people get mad and leave this church, and within 6 months you'll see the same gal that wouldn't touch a pair of pants wearing pants out in public. You know why? Because the reason she didn't wear them was because she was a baby. If she was mature, she'd still have the same conviction she had while he was here, while you were here. You let me drop dead tonight. No amens, please. You let me drop over dead right here while I'm preaching tonight. And some of you people that are living right won't live right very much longer. Because you haven't got daddy up here. Now, some of you, you better get to the place where you transfer gears and work for Jesus for His glory, and you won't quit when I die. Be holy because you want to honor Him and please Him and glorify Him. And then when I'm gone, you'll still be living a holy life. Love because God is love. Love the unloved. Love the unlovable. Love the unloving. Love your enemies. Brother Howells is gone, you'll not all of a sudden be filled with hatred and revenge. It's time some of us grew up. I go back to the first of the message and close. We're commanded to be perfect. I know bus kids that are more mature than some of you deacons are. You say, you talking to me? I bet I am. I know bus kids that are more mature than some of you people have been members of this church for 35, 40 years. It's time that you grew up. It's time that you matured. Be therefore perfect. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That the man of God may be made perfect. That they may be made perfect. Let us go on to perfection. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, till we all come into a perfect man. Would you bow your heads, please?